Jerry Fleming, the head coach, joins us now. Jerry, how are you?
Good, Jason. How you doing?
Hey, I'm great. I want to get your thoughts, and I understand why they make the rule because of travel. You've been the top seed when you guys had the option to start on the road and then go three straight at home. And the concern, of course, is, well, if you don't get a sweep on the road, now you got to win three straight at home. How much, when you guys had the option, what were like the pros and cons you guys weighed when deciding whether to go starting on the road or at home?
Well, to be honest with you, Jason, it doesn't matter whether we started on the road or at home. Some of the pros starting at home is, you know, you sleep in your own bed, you can cook your own meals, you're kind of on your own schedule. When you're on the road, you're eating out, hotels, travel, getting back and forth to the rink. Those are just some of the little things, but at the end of the day, none of that really matters. Whether you start on the road or start at home, you just got to go and play the game.
Okay. Well, obviously, you're pretty happy with it. A convincing win in game one, but Saturday night, and I was watching that game, it did not start great for your team, Jerry, but an electrifying comeback, down 3-0, and you storm back to score four straight, including in overtime, and to win that game. And you scored really, like, you were trailing for the first almost 40 minutes because you scored late on the power play in the second period. Hamilton got you the goal. Just how much of a momentum builder was that for your team, and how much did it change your intermission speech?
Well, you know, coming in after scoring a goal at the end of the period, it's always big for your team. You come in the period on a high, and guys, you know, you're two goals down now as opposed to being three goals down. But Richard Bachman came in and made a heck of a save just before we had scored on a backdoor play. I think that was the turning point in the game. He made that save. It kind of sparked our bench a little bit, and then we got one late on the power play, and we just kind of set off that momentum. The game on Thursday was a lot closer than the score indicated. We scored two empty net goals. It was a one-goal hockey game with about 2 minutes left in the game. So, you know, we were fortunate enough to get a couple empty netters, but at the end of the day, both games have been tight, hard-fought, hard-hitting hockey games.
Lauren Brossoit started game one, got the victory, was pulled in game two, and that doesn't always mean that the goalie himself played bad, but you mentioned Bachman made a huge save, came in, and didn't allow a goal in the 37 minutes he played, stopped 16 of 16. So now I guess you're in a tough situation. Who's going to be your starter for game three?
Well, we're going to go back with Richard, but like you just mentioned, it was nothing on LB. I thought he played well. You know, we didn't help him much. I think that we did it more from a momentum change than anything else. It kind of sparked the guys, wake them up a little bit, and it worked. You know, it's a great luxury to have as a coach when either guy is, feel confident with either guy in that.
You know, and that's it's funny because we've seen it even in the NHL playoffs. Never used to have, you know, those tough of decisions for most coaches. You kind of had your starter, and the gap was big enough that, you know, the backup, maybe come in relief, and even if you played well, most guys would go back to their starter. We saw it in the NHL, you know, in a few teams going back and forth, and now you the same thing. And it's kind of different, isn't it, Jerry? Just the competition amongst goalies seems to be closer in a lot of teams, even the backups now.
Yeah, I agree with you. Just the way things are now with the game and the technology and guys being way more athletic than maybe they were 20 or 30 years ago, you know, it's nice to have that possibility of playing either guy on any given night. And, you know, you feel like you have a chance, your team has a chance to win. So regardless of who's in net for us, I think the guys play hard in front of both guys and they feel confident with either guy in net.
You saw San Antonio so much in the regular season. I think this is you've played him now 14 times. I want to get your thoughts on a few young players. How has Kyle Platzer, wearing number 16, played in the two games?
He played well in the first one. You know, we pulled him in the second one there just to get to – we mixed up the lines a little bit. We played him, but I didn't play him as much in the second game as I did in the first one. You know, the speed and the intensity picked up a little bit. And he's a young guy playing against some pretty experienced team in San Antonio, so we tried to protect him a little bit. But, you know, he performed well. Due to the circumstances or under the circumstances, he came in and performed well for us.
How's Martin Marinson played for you?
Marty's good. He's been he's played well defensively. You know, he's been great killing penalties. You know, he's so rangy with his stick and covers so much ice that he's a really, really strong defender.
Jerry Fleming, head coach of the OKC Barons, joined us. They're up 2-0 in their best-of-five series against San Antonio. Game three goes tomorrow. Game four, if necessary, Friday. Game five, if necessary, Saturday. All three in San Antonio. And Jerry, I know you and I you talked about this when you had him before he got called up to Edmonton. Is it, you know, he's got an excellent stick, and you talk about range and everything. Those are his huge advantages. It's this, you know, that intensity factor shift by shift, and in the playoffs, everybody's intensity rises. Have you seen, you know, more consistent intensity in battle from Marinson?
Yeah, it starts in practice. Today we did a couple of battle drills, and Marty was really engaged, and it's kind of worked its way into his game when he plays the game, and I think it stems from practice. I think he competes in practice, and he understands that that's part of an area of his game that he needs to get better on, and he's worked on it, and he's working on it in practice, and it's starting to translate now into games.
Interesting how practice makes perfect, and even in the playoffs, and I guess because you got a few extra days off, right? You usually wouldn't have a battle drill if you didn't have 3 games off between 3 days off, excuse me, between games.
Definitely, but I think it's always important that you engage in some type of battle just to keep guys. You know, you don't have to go long with it, but I think it just keeps guys sharp.
And Jerry, is the Western Conference playoffs? Are you automatically playing the winner of Grand Rapids or in Toronto, or do you guys reseed after the first round?
We'll reseed after the first round.
You'd face maybe Utica. You don't know
Rockford, yet. Rockford, maybe Utica. It's all dependent on where guys finish here.
Do you like the reseeding?
Yeah, I don't mind that at all.
Okay.
I'm a true believer, Jason. Regardless of who you play, if you're going to be the best in the league, you have to go through whatever team it is. So whether it's Utica, whether it's Rockford, GR, Toronto, it doesn't matter. You got to play that opponent. You got to prepare for that opponent. You got to go out and give your best to beat them.
One player who was huge for you in that come-from-behind victory was Matt Ford. Picked up a goal and two assists for you. You know, now Ford's 29 years of age. Well, he might even be. I think that, sorry, he's 30 now. Ford's a guy who's kind of, you know, that career AHL player, Jerry. You know, and that's not a negative. You know, a lot of guys, it's tough to be an NHL player. Just talk about the experience factor of having a guy like Matt Ford, and you know how important it is for those guys, even at 30 years of age, to get that Calder Cup championship, and how maybe guys play for him.
Well, it's huge for anybody to win a championship, especially like you said, maybe a career minor leaguer that just opens up eyes to other teams for his next contract, and you know. So the longer you play, there's less teams, there's more scouts at the games. So it just gives him more exposure as far as renegotiating his contract for the upcoming year. But he's been our MVP this season. Like, he's been there all season long. He's battled. He keeps guys honest in practice. He's glue in the room. You know, there's so many positive things that come along with Matt. It's just nice to see him so far have some success here early on in the playoffs.
How's Joey LaLeggia adapting to the AHL?
Good. He's getting better every day. He's getting more comfortable. He's such a tremendous skater, but there's things in this game that he needs to work on without the puck, and you know, we're going to make him better, and we're going to try to get him better in those areas.
What are those areas specifically that away from the puck you're working on?
Well, just like when he goes back for puck, sometimes he's so anxious to get up on the play that, you know, he's got to wait to support his partner, not to be ahead of the puck, but kind of get back quicker for pucks, a little more communication in his own end, a little more D-zone awareness, better positioning, understanding that the guys are a little bit bigger and stronger, and he's going to have to take different angles and take guys' hands out instead of trying to go through guys, just those type of things. And, you know, we show him, and the good news about Joey is he wants to get better, he wants to learn every day, he wants video, he wants extra time on the ice. So all those positive things will make him a better player.
Head coach of the OKC Barons, Jerry Fleming, joins us. They're up 2-0 in their quarterfinal series against San Antonio. Game 3 goes tomorrow night in San Antonio. Jerry, I was looking at the shot clock in both your games, and your defensemen are getting a ton of shots, but specifically in Game 2, Brennan Davidson had 6, Brad Hunt had 4. Obviously, you know, the message is you always want to shoot, but your defense, are they getting better at getting pucks through? Is San Antonio packing it down low so it's freeing up the defensemen? Why so many shots from the blue liners?
I think it's a combination of both. They play a tight defensive zone coverage. They're tight to their hosts, and guys have done a good job of getting pucks to the net. We've had traffic, and I think two of our goals on the power play were redirections, last game with guys standing in front and getting pucks to the net. It's something that we've emphasized all year long, especially against a team like San Antonio. They're big, they're strong, so you know, you're going to have to get pucks down low and just get second and third whacks at the puck and try to put it in.
Jerry, continued success with the playoffs, and hopefully we're talking to you for another 6 weeks on your way to the Calder Cup.
Appreciate that, Jason. Thank you very much.